life, the life that you have called us to live. May we hear your words, not just as words, but as living words that will change and transform us into your image. Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at that Ephesians 3. It's a fantastic reading, isn't it, for talking about what we're talking about today, that we are united in Christ, and then what that means through that unity that we have in Jesus. And Paul begins this section of Ephesians, writing to the Christians in Ephesians, with this image of himself as a prisoner. It's very interesting language, actually. We could do a bit of a language study as we go through. Paul calls himself, he is actually in prison, but he calls himself the prisoner in the Lord. So his purpose and where he finds himself overlaps and is combined with his purpose and where he finds himself in Christ as well. They are one and the same thing for Paul. He's able to see his life in those terms. What is happening to him is what is happening to him in the Lord, even though he is a prisoner, which is not an enviable state, obviously, that we want to find ourselves. But he uses this imagery of a prisoner, and he kind of continues that language through, which we probably don't really pick up as very obvious, but he continues that language. And he's kind of urging, exhorting, there's an old word for us, you know, kind of challenging the Ephesian Christians to live the life that they have been called to live by using this imagery as the basis for that. I don't know if you've seen the movie Apocalypto. This is an image from that movie. It's pretty, what would I say, pretty gnarly viewing. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it's the story of, in kind of Mayan times, ancient Mayan times, where there were these roving tribes, and they would go and capture other tribes for slaves, and then take them to some unknown Mayan city, mostly for sacrifice, not for slavery, as it turned out. But it's a story of one particular tribe and one particular kind of hero within that tribe, of them being captured and taken to this Mayan city as captives, and then on it goes from there. And they, in the movie, throughout the movie, they are bound together by this bamboo pole that you can see there. That's how they kind of transported them and stopped them from escaping, whether it was through rapids or whatever. And the movie kind of plays out this being tied together by this bamboo pole in a number of different ways. Crossing the river is one of them. There's another scene where they go right onto the edge of there's a kind of a cliff track. And one guy kind of skids out, you know, around the track, and they're all holding each other up by this pole and all that sort of stuff. So that kind of imagery plays out quite a bit through the movie. They are bound together by this bamboo pole. And so what Paul says to the church, says these words, maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I wonder if, like that bamboo pole, what Paul is saying is it is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is like that bamboo pole that unites us, that binds us together as one group. That wherever we go and turn and move, we are bound together by the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying. Notice the word bond of peace. This is related again to that prison imagery that he's already begun to talk about in his own life. They are bound together by chains, literal chains of peace. We aren't, as Christians, we are no longer slaves to the world or slaves to people, as in this movie, Apocalypto. We've been set free from that. But we've been set free to a different type of slavery, a slavery to Christ, a slavery to the Holy Spirit. I think we have to be careful here that the imagery is not so much that I have this, in this particular instance, in Ephesians, it's not so much about the fact that I have the Spirit and another Christian has the Spirit, and because of that, we should get on together. There's a kind of communion there. That's not so much what Paul, I think, is talking about in this part. But rather what Paul is trying to say is that people are connected to the one Spirit. We are all connected to that one Spirit, that one long bamboo pole. We are all tethered and tied to because of Christ in us. And therefore, we are united in what we do. We are united in our purpose together. We are moved and swayed by that same pole wherever it may go. Our purpose is similar. Our fruit is similar. Our lifestyle has a commonality to it because of our tying to that pole. And Paul will say it is a bond of peace that we find ourselves in. It is not a bond of enmity and strife and struggle with one another. If we are tied to the Holy Spirit, if we are being led and guided by the Holy Spirit, it is a bond of peace. There is a way in which we can move through our life together in peace. It's not to say that there won't be, you know, a bit of back and forth, a bit of, you know, words, all those sorts of things. But there is a place in which we are bound together in peace. Now, all of this is to say that because we are bound and because we are called to maintain a unity, it does not mean that we are all carbon copies of one another, that we are exactly alike, that we are all dressed the same or speak the same or whatever it may be. And you do see that, don't you, in some church communities where there is this kind of similarity in everything, the way people talk, the way they dress, all of those sorts of things. It does not mean that. We are actually called to imitate Christ primarily. But there should be, if we are tethered to that pole, there should be a recognizable commonality amongst us, not only here, but across the world, not only in this time, but across all time. The followers of Christ should be recognizable, not only one to another, but also to the world in which they live, because they are all tied to that one pole. As Paul will say, there is one Lord, there is one hope, there is one faith, there is one baptism. And lives are expressed as the Holy Spirit, as they take over more. I'm trying to think of another as recognizable. And you know, if you, the Mason, I had a friend, Mason, and he said that Mason can find another, or by not, you know, like, but, and dear, I say, the secrets were a society, doesn't it? The Mason hand, we've seen that in courtroom, that they do symbols to raise. Now, I'm going to go down now. We do have our sorts of things, because we are recognizable. To one, because of in our life of tied to, could be recognizable, a reasonable fruit in our lives, wherever you yourselves, and questions. We should be able to place this is that is in spirit, this is knows Jesus. There should be able to recognize, should be some aspect to. Paul will then, and if you didn't recognize the two, just following in chapter, we've been to two. Paul says, because that we have Christ to fit out, to live, says, given into the, and you're the get through the spirit, it says, you carefully, they for a whole lot of, but they are. The beginning to equip the ministry for what? Building up of one another in the unity of the faith. We are given those gifts to build us up into maintaining that unity, to building that unity, to strengthening our connection to the Holy Spirit that in whom is the unity that we seek, that we're looking for, that we want to find. The strengthening of our tie to that pole. That is why you have been given the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are at work in our church in order to achieve that aim, to strengthen the tie we have to the pole, to the Holy Spirit. But then Paul will go on and he will say that they are also then for the growing up, the growing of believers. And that's the second part, the second part of our vision that I want us to focus on and think through briefly. Scripture, of course, talks about growth in all sorts of ways, in leadership and moral aspects, and wisdom and knowledge of God. All of these sorts of things Scripture covers. But I love Paul's phrase, which kind of sums up the entire goal of our growth. To the measure of the full stature of Christ. What an amazing calling when you think about it. That is the hope that God has for us, that we will grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ. I mean, it makes you feel very inadequate and completely hopeless at one point, but there is no higher calling, is there? And that's what God hopes for us, that is what God wants for us and desires for us, that we will grow into the full stature of the maturity of Christ to maturity. That is the goal of our existence. That is what Nativity, our church, should be all about, that everything we do is with that aim in mind, with that goal in mind. That is what we want to do, to grow in our ability, to grow to be like Christ, to grow in our ability. And I mean, we can unpack what it means to be like Christ, and we do that every Sunday. What does it mean to be Christ-like? Fundamentally, it means to be able to, I'm growing in my ability to do what God wants me to do. That nothing, if we look at the life of Christ, nothing stood in the way of Jesus doing the will of God. Nothing would stand in the way of that. Everything would submit to that. And of course we know Jesus did that to the point of his own death. He would die before he would not follow what God wants him to do. Another feature, and we will continue to unpack this obviously, what the nature of Christ is, but another feature of that is sharing the message of the coming kingdom into the world, sharing the hope that this life is not all that there is, that there is a greater hope that God calls us to. So as we close, that really, at Nativity, that's fundamental to our purpose. That's why we exist. We are connected to the Holy Spirit together, and that is what binds us together, our connection to the Holy Spirit. And everything that I do here, everything that you do here, is to grow us in that connection, to grow in my ability to be like Christ. And I'm helping others to grow in that same ability. Wherever that is, in Sunday worship, that's what I come here to do. I come to worship God, to grow in my ability to be like Christ and to help others to do the same. In my care cells that I am a part of this year, when we do mission and outreach together, that is what our aim is. Church lunches, fundraisers, whatever we do as a community, that is why we gather. That is what our purpose is. During the week, we sat down with our admin staff and looked at the calendar ahead and put in the kind of big dates for the year ahead. And it was quite exciting. It was good, you know, when you're a very good admin, it's good to do those things. Yes, admin. it's there, it's in the calendar. I can rest easy. But also great to see some of the cool things that are coming up for this year. It's exciting to see that too. So we've got some great events happening. We've got a great facility to have those events in, and a great facility to share with the community as well. So that's really exciting too. And it's going to be great to see how that develops and how that grows for us and our use of it, but also for the community at large. But all of those things are for the purpose of us growing in Christ. Not only us, and we'll look at the rest of our vision of drawing others into that, reaching out, sharing what we have with the world around of us. If we if we look back at the end of the year, we look back and we can say we have really grown as a community in our being like Christ. That is success. That will be success for us individually, yes, but as a community, we're able to say we have really grown and reflecting Christ and being like Christ with one another, but also without in our community. That people are able to say that they are different. They are like Christ in the way in which they live. Shall we pray? Father God, we can express what your scriptures say, and we can think through that and continue to be challenged by that. But Lord, without your Spirit, we labor in vain, as Scripture says. So Lord, we ask, really at the start of this new year, as we're thinking about what it is that you've called us to be and to do in this place, Lord, would you come and touch that by your Holy Spirit? Come and touch our thoughts, this vision that you have set for the church from 2,000 years ago. Would you come and fill that with your Holy Spirit, and come and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, with your purpose, that we come together and go. That you love all in our life. Thing comes to of you. We thank you for calling. And Lord, calling, be like Christ, come in us. Leave us on our own, so you're helping you throughout this year, ourselves to your purpose. And amen. Sing. If the team would, just as we continue.